Ekatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we are digging into a book that really shook things up in the financial world. It showed millions of folks that, you know, building wealth might be simpler and definitely cheaper than Wall Street wants you to think.
Yeah, we're talking about Burton Malkiel's classic, A Random Walk Down Wall Street, a really groundbreaking book.
Absolutely. And our mission today is to pull out the practical, almost liberating truth about investing for the long haul.
That truth being, maybe the most expensive advice isn't actually the best. We're going to show you how, well, how doing almost nothing strategically can often beat the pros.
Exactly. This book, it gets right to the heart of it. It asks that big question everyone wonders about. Can you or anyone really consistently beat the stock market through skill or timing or some complex analysis?
And Malkiel's answer, grounded in just tons of research and market watching, is a pretty strong no. Almost always no, for most people anyway.
And once you kind of accept that, your whole focus shifts, doesn't it? It stops being about chasing those crazy high returns and becomes about controlling what you can control, which means slashing costs and cutting out unnecessary risks. Knowing this is like your secret weapon.
Okay, so let's unpack that core idea, the main conflict driving the book. Because most people, you know, they still kind of believe there's a secret code or a pattern.
Or some insider info they can get.
Something to let them get ahead. Yeah. They think skilled trumps luck.
Well, and that belief is precisely what the financial industry is built on selling you, right? So Malkiel comes in and just systematically takes that apart. He argues that stock market movements are basically unpredictable. They follow what he calls a random walk.
Okay, random walk. What does that actually mean for, you know, for us?
It means that because the market reacts to new information so incredibly fast-like, within seconds, the price changes from one moment to the next are essentially random. There's no predictable pattern in the short term.
Ah, okay. So the goal then is to shift your mindset away from trying to, like, time those random jumps.
Exactly. Instead of active trading, guessing highs and lows, Malkiel points us toward a passive approach. Think low-cost index funds.
And the evidence backs this up.
Overwhelmingly. The data shows these index funds consistently outperform most actively managed funds over the long run, especially after you factor in their fees.
So what gives Malkiel the authority to make such a big claim? It sounds almost, well, radical compared to what you usually hear.
It really does. But he's got this unique background. He perfectly bridges that gap between, like, high-level academic theory and the actual messy reality of Wall Street.
Okay, tell me more. Academically.
He's got serious credentials. Former economics professor at Princeton, Harvard MBA, Princeton PhD, you know, the works.
Impressive. And the real world side.
Just as strong. He served on the President's Council of Economic Advisors, was chief economist at a big investment firm, and this is key, he spent 28 years as a director at the Vanguard Group.
Vanguard. Okay, so the pioneers of this very index funds he's recommending.
Exactly. He wasn't just theorizing, he was there. Involved in putting these ideas into practice. He saw the efficient market theory develop and watched firsthand as generation after generation of highly paid managers failed to consistently beat simple index funds.
Wow. So he saw both sides, the theory and the practical results matching up.
Yeah, it gave him what you might call informed skepticism. He knew the complex strategies often just didn't deliver enough value to justify their, you know, their high fees.
Got it. So when you pick up A Random Walk Down Wall Street, what's the journey Malkiel takes you on?
Well, he really wrote it with two goals in mind, I think. First, it's a fantastic primer on how financial markets actually work, demystifying a lot of jargon.
Yuck.
And second, it's a really practical guide, a step-by-step manual for building wealth sensibly over the long term without needing to be a financial genius.
So it's structured how? Does it start with the basics?
Yeah, it starts with that core concept, the random walk. Then he methodically goes through the popular ways people try to beat the market and shows why they usually fail.
Like technical analysis.
Yeah.
Chart reading and stuff.
Yeah. He tackles technical analysis, then fundamental analysis, looking at company value, and explains the flaws in trying to use them for consistent market beating returns, mainly because of market efficiency.
But he doesn't just leave you there saying it's all random good luck.
No, no, that's the great part. The whole second half is constructive. It lays out a clear, actionable framework for building your own portfolio. Heavy emphasis on diversification, asset allocation, the things that actually work.
And who's this for? Is it just for beginners or?
Honestly, it's for almost everyone. Someone just starting out, opening their first retirement account. Perfect.
Yeah.
But also for, a seasoned investor who maybe suspects their fancy strategy isn't really working as well as they hoped, it brings everyone back to basics.
All right, let's dive into some of those critiques. You mentioned the madness of crowds. Sounds intriguing.
Yeah, this is where he talks about human emotion and how it creates speculative bubbles. He uses this great term, the castle in the air theory,
Castle in the air. Boom.
meaning people buy assets not based on their real underlying value-like future profits, but simply because they hope someone else will pay even more for it soon. It's just speculation feeding on itself, pure emotion, really.
Like FOMO driving prices way up.
Exactly. And his historical examples are just classic. The Dutch tulip mania back in the 1600s.
Oh, yeah, the tulips.
Right. People were trading single flower bulbs for the price of houses. It sounds completely nuts now,
Totally.
but it shows how disconnected prices can get from any kind of real value when that herd mentality kicks in.
And it wasn't just tulips, right? This pattern repeats.
Oh, absolutely. He talks about the South Sea bubble, the dot-com bubble in the late 90s. Remember
Yeah.
that? Companies with literally no revenue, maybe not even a real product, valued at billions just on hype.
I do remember that. Wild times.
So Malkiel uses these stories as warnings. Human psychology can definitely warp market prices, but then he moves on to the next big question. Can you reliably profit from predicting or exploiting those irrational moments?
Okay, so if markets can get irrational, maybe the tools people use to analyze them, technical and fundamental analysis, maybe they can work sometimes.
Well, that's what he looks at next. He starts with technical analysis. That's all the chart patterns, trend lines, moving averages, trying to predict future prices just by looking at past prices.
And Malkiel's take?
He pretty much dismisses it, calls it financial astrology, pseudoscience, basically. Because if the walk is random, past price moves don't reliably predict future ones.
Is that where the coin flip study comes in?
Exactly. I love that one. They gave technical analysts charts that were literally generated by random coin flips, and the analysts still found meaningful patterns and trends.
Wow. That just shows our human bias, right?
Yeah.
We need to see patterns, even in randomness.
Totally. Now, he treats fundamental analysis, digging into a company's intrinsic value, its earnings, its management, all that, with a bit more respect, theoretically.
Okay, that seems more substantial.
It does. But here's the catch. According to Malkiel, the efficient market hypothesis, or EMH.
Ah, the EMH. Explain that simply.
The idea is that the market is incredibly efficient at processing information. So any new information about a company's value, good or bad, gets reflected in its stock price almost instantaneously.
Instantly.
Yeah.
So even if you do brilliant fundamental analysis and find an undervalued company.
By the time you find it, chances are the market already knows or reacts so fast to the public release of that info that the price has already adjusted. Your potential advantage disappears before you can really act on it consistently.
But wait. We see huge market crashes. We see bubbles like the dot-com thing. Doesn't that prove the market isn't always efficient? Aren't prices clearly wrong sometimes?
That's a great point, and Malkiel addresses it. His view is nuanced. He'd say the market isn't perfectly efficient, maybe, but it's efficient enough.
Efficient enough. Meaning what?
Meaning, yes, prices can detach from fundamental value sometimes. Bubbles happen. But predicting when they'll pop or exactly how high they'll go before they do, that's incredibly difficult, maybe impossible to do systematically.
So trying to time those irrational moments is just too risky.
Pretty much. The market might be wrong, but betting reliably on when it's wrong and how to profit from it, especially faster than millions of other smart people trying the same thing, is a losing game over the long run.
Okay, so if the market is efficient enough that timing it or picking stocks based on analysis is mostly futile, what does this mean for, the professionals,
Yeah.
the highly paid fund managers?
Ah, well, this is where Malkiel delivers the really tough news. He presents study after study showing the same thing. The vast majority of actively managed mutual funds fail to beat their benchmark index.
Fail to beat the average.
Yes, especially over longer periods, like 10, 15, 20 years. And that's before you even subtract their fees and account for taxes.
Wow. So that star manager who had a great year or two.
Could easily just be luck. Statistically, it's hard to tell skill from a random hot streak. The persistent drag of higher fees makes it incredibly hard for them to consistently outperform a simple, cheap index fund.
Okay, that's sobering.
Yeah.
But the book isn't all about tearing things down, right? You mentioned it offers solutions. the new investment technology.
Exactly. He doesn't leave you stranded. This is where he brings in things like modern portfolio theory, or MPT.
MPT, that sounds comfy.
Core Idea is actually pretty elegant, and it even won a Nobel Prize. It's about diversification. MPT shows mathematically that by combining different types of assets, stocks, bonds, maybe some real estate, international assets that don't always move in perfect sync, you can actually lower the overall risk of your portfolio without necessarily lowering your expected return.
Lower risk, same potential return.
Because when one asset class is down, another might be up or sideways, smoothing out the ride. Malkiel calls diversification the closest thing to a free lunch in investing.
Free lunch, I like that. And this leads to his practical advice.
Directly. If diversification is key and beating the market is unlikely, the best way to implement this is through low-cost index funds and exchange-traded funds, ETFs.
Why those specifically?
Because they give you instant diversification. Buying one fund can give you exposure to hundreds or thousands of stocks, and they do it at a rock-bottom cost. It's about achieving that market return efficiently and simply. So let's really boil down the key messages here, the things you can actually take away and use. Theme one has to be the futility of forecasting.
Right. If the market's movements are largely random in the short term, then trying to guess the peaks and troughs.
It's a fool's errand, as Malkiel puts it. You have to be right when you sell and when you buy back in. Almost nobody can do that consistently. Staying invested usually beats trying to time it.
Okay, lesson one. Don't try to time the market. What's theme two?
Costs. Costs matter enormously. He calls it the tyranny of compounding costs, and this is huge.
Tyranny, strong word.
Why so critical? Because even seemingly tiny differences in fees add up massively over decades. Think about paying, say, a 1% annual fee for an active fund versus maybe 0.1% for an index fund. That 0.9% difference doesn't sound like much.
But compounded over 30 or 40 years.
It can literally eat up hundreds of thousands of dollars of your potential returns. It's maybe the single biggest factor you have direct control over. Minimizing costs is paramount.
Wow. Okay, costs are critical. What's next?
Theme three, behavioral biases. Malkiel is clear. Even if the market isn't always rational, we as investors definitely aren't.
Yeah, we rest things up ourselves, don't we?
Totally. We get overconfident when things are good. We panic and sell low when things crash. That's loss aversion. We chase hot trends, buying high.
Fueling the very bubbles he warns about.
Exactly. So the message here is discipline. You need a plan, and you need to stick to it almost mechanically to prevent your own emotions from wrecking your returns. Automation helps a lot here.
Got it. Discipline beats emotion. And the last key theme.
Theme four. Asset allocation is king. Forget trying to pick the next superstar stock.
Really? That's not the most important thing.
Not according to the research Malkiel presents. Your decision on how to split your money between broad categories, mainly stocks and bonds, the asset allocation decision accounts for the vast majority of your portfolio's return variations over time.
Way more than which specific stock you bought.
Way more. So focusing on getting your overall stock-bond mix right for your age and risk tolerance, that's far more impactful than spending hours trying to find the perfect stock. Focus on the big picture.
That makes a lot of sense. Malkiel is also known for some really memorable ways of putting things, right? Like metaphors.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. His quotes really stick with you. Let's talk about a few. Maybe the most famous one, the ultimate challenge to the pros.
The monkey.
The monkey. A blindfolded monkey throwing darts could select a portfolio that would do just as well as one carefully selected by the experts.
That just cuts right through the mystique, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It perfectly captures the idea that in an efficient market, expertise in stock picking might be, well, overrated.
Hugely. Then there's his line on diversification. Diversification reduces risk without sacrificing return. It's the closest thing to a free lunch that exists in investing.
Simple, clear, and highlights the practical benefit of not putting all your eggs in one basket. What else?
How about this one, which captures that nuance about market efficiency? I am not saying that the market prices are always right. What I am saying is that there is no dependable way to know when they are wrong.
Ah, okay. So it acknowledges imperfections, but stresses you can't reliably exploit them. That's subtle but important.
Very. And finally, maybe the simplest but most powerful advice for long-term investors. Time is money's best friend.
Compound growth, just letting your investments work for you over decades.
Exactly. Start early, stay invested, be patient. Time does the heavy lifting.
Okay, this is all great theory, but let's make it super practical for everyone listening. Application number one, the index fund shift.
Right. Step one is basically stop paying high fees for active funds that probably won't beat the market anyway. Make low-cost, broad-market index funds the core of your portfolio. Think S&P 500 or a total world stock market fund.
Get the market return cheaply. Simple. Application two. Age-based allocation.
Use that asset allocation idea. Mm-hmm. Malkiel provides rules of thumb, like maybe subtracting your age from 100 or 110 to get your stock percentage. The point is, when you're young, you can afford more risk, so be heavier in stocks, maybe 80%, 90%.
And as you get older?
You gradually, systematically shift more towards bonds to preserve your capital as you approach retirement when you'll need the money. Maybe 40, 50% in bonds, or even more then. It's about managing risk across your lifespan.
Makes sense. Application three. Discipline through automation. Fight those behavioral demons.
Yes. Set up automatic contributions. Every month, a set amount goes into your index funds. This is dollar cost averaging. You buy more shares when prices are low, fewer when high.
Takes the emotion out of it.
Completely. And rebalance periodically, maybe once a year. If stocks have soared and are now too big a part of your mix, sell some and buy bonds to get back to your target allocation. Sell high, buy low, automatically.
Smart. And the final application, tying back to that tyranny theme, cost vigilance.
Absolutely critical. Be obsessive about fees. Look at the expense ratio of any fund you own or consider owning. Is it over 0.5%? Probably too high. Aim for funds under 0.2% or even lower if you can find them.
Because every tiny bit saved on fees goes straight to your bottom line and compounds over time.
Precisely. It's free money, essentially, just by choosing the cheaper option that likely performs just as well or better.
You know, diving back into this, what really struck me again is just how liberating Malkiel's message is. It takes the pressure off trying to be some kind of market genius.
Right.
The most valuable lesson seems to be that successful investing isn't really about complex analysis. It's about humility and discipline. Knowing you can't outsmart the market and having the discipline to stick to a simple, proven plan.
I completely agree. The sheer weight of evidence he presents for the simple, passive, low-cost approach is just overwhelming. It really is a paradigm shift, moving away from thinking you need to be active and clever to realizing that being disciplined and, frankly, a bit boring is actually the most effective path to building wealth.
So maybe we can leave you, our listener, with a final thought to chew on.
Yeah.
Malkiel convincingly argues that much of the complexity in finance exists mainly to justify high fees for strategies that don't reliably work.
Mm-hmm.
So if the best strategy for something as complex sounding as investing turns out to be the simplest one, buy the whole market, hold it, diversify, keep costs incredibly low, it makes you wonder, what other areas of your life might you be overcomplicating? Where else are you chasing some elusive advantage that maybe, just maybe, doesn't really exist when a simpler approach might be far more effective?
That's a powerful thought to end on, something to definitely consider.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.